It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
Week 14, just about in the books. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the FTN Fade the Chalk podcast. This is the solo edition recapping Week 14. My name is Adam Pfeiffer. I'm feeling good. Podcast a little bit later. Usually on Sunday nights we get this out, but the Bills played. The Bills played a huge game, and I was feeling good. We'll talk about that game, obviously, as well as the rest of the games from Week 14's Sunday slate. It was an interesting one. Like, DFS-wise, again, it wasn't my best week. I had, as you guys probably know on the pod, I talked a lot about Michael Gallup this week. That didn't pan out. Had a lot of the good plays. It's just was one of those weeks where they weren't in the right lineups. But hopefully you guys had a better week than I did. Hopefully you advanced to the next round of your season-long leagues as well. Because like I said, I say this a lot, but like genuinely care about how you guys do in your leagues and stuff like that just as much, if not more, than my own. So, and I mean that, I really do. But yeah, this was a pretty interesting slate. A lot of really, really bad performances. A lot of really head-scratching performances as well. And we'll break it all down for sure. Let's start, though, with an easy game. Dallas 30, Cincinnati 7. We didn't expect a ton of excitement from this game. Two bad football teams, two bad defenses. I thought the Bengals would at least put up a little bit more of a fight, but when you fumble the ball three times, it'll put you in a hole. Giovanni Bernard fumbles early in this game and pretty much gets benched for the majority of the rest of the game. I mean, he finished with three carries for 8 yards, caught three passes for 15 yards. But again, he lost that fumble, limited him to just 17 of the 72 offensive snaps for the Bengals. And then we saw Samaje Perine. He got 12 touches. Travion Williams, who's usually, when Joe Mixon's healthy, a healthy scratch. And lately it's been, even without Mixon, he's been like the third guy in the depth chart, getting maybe one or two touches a game. He ends up getting 12 carries and three catches, so 15 touches, and he ends up playing second to team high, 27 snaps. Samaje Perine played 28. Like, if you trusted Giovanni Bernard in this matchup because it was such a good matchup, it hurt. And you know, if somehow you made it into the next round of your matchups for the playoffs with Giovanni Bernard on your team, he is droppable for sure. Even if Mixon doesn't come back, I don't know how you have any confidence in him. AJ Green, who had like four goose eggs over his last six or seven games, he comes back to life here with six catches and touchdown, 62 yards on seven targets. T. Higgins had eight targets. Tyler Boyd had nine targets. This offense is obviously still really bad. If I'm starting one, it's still Tyler Boyd. He had the most targets with nine. He's still in the slot around 70% of the time, which is going to give him more advantageous matchups. And they gave him a couple of those quick shovel passes that are easily convertible. I think he had like two of those. So, but yeah, this is a bad offense. Dallas, yeah, I was all in on Michael Gallup. He had like a 15 or 13 yard catch early in the game. I was like, all right, this might pan out. And then, you know, Dallas got in a good, easy field position after the fumbles. They got ahead. And then they just kind of gave Zeke and Tony Pollard a decent amount of work. Amari Cooper, 4 for 51 in the touchdown against William Jackson. That was encouraging. I wasn't really on Amari Cooper, and he didn't have a massive game. But like I said, because William Jackson had been shadowing and Gallup was in a spot where the Bengals were dead last in pressure rate, so he could get down the field and run his deep routes and make some plays, I thought he would be in a good spot. But just didn't pan out that way. Andy Dalton only threw the ball 23 times. This seemed like a game where Zeke would finally go off. Dallas got ahead early. They got in great field position all game long. And yet, if it weren't for a 26-yard run at the end of the game, Zeke would have, an awful game. He still had a bad game. I mean, 12 carries for 48 yards, caught two passes for 11 yards. Tony Pollard, 11 for 39 on the ground, but he had a receiving touchdown, and he had 13 touches of his own. I mean, this was probably the one week where you're like, all right, I can finally probably get back to low-end RB1 production from Ezekiel Elliott. And it just didn't happen. Tony Pollard's been among the league leaders in yards after contact all year. He's giving them an awesome dynamic on the return game. He's just been way more explosive. And I know the offense has been bad and the offensive line's been bad too, but Pollard's running behind the same unit and he's just looked better than Zeke. He played 19 snaps, Zeke played 32. Pollard got a lot of that work in the last drive of the game where he did end up scoring. They went 4th and 4th down, but it's like Tony Pollard's been quietly getting, you know, Latavius Murray type workload lately, and that's enough to where it's like, you know, Zeke's not getting the 25 touches anymore. I mean, look at the last couple games. Pollard, 9 touches, 13 touches, 6 touches. Like, there's no reason for him, especially in a lost season, to not get 7 to 10 touches a game. So, it's been a frustrating year for Zeke and the Cowboys, obviously. It's tough to really fault Zeke, though. I mean, you lose a quarterback playing out of his mind. You lose Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins and Zach Martin. And it's just like, there's only so much the guy can do. But yeah, it's definitely been frustrating. This is a weird game. Kansas City 33, Miami 27. I mean, if you told me the Chiefs were going to have, what, 4 turnovers in this game, Patrick Mahomes would throw 3 picks, I would tell you the Miami Dolphins pulled off the upset. But yet, after a brutal start, I mean, the Chiefs got up to a point where they scored like 20-something unanswered points, went up 30-10. Miami, give them credit, man. They fought and they kept this game competitive. They lose 33-27. Injuries really hurt Miami in this game. Tua played pretty well for the most part, 316 yards, his first 300-yard passing game, 2 touchdowns. He also ran for a touchdown, 48 pass attempts. But Devontae Parker left this game with an injury. He left relatively early and didn't return. Mike Gesicki left this game with a brutal injury after scoring 2 touchdowns. He got tackled awkwardly, landed on his shoulder. But he's been, like, that's something to keep an eye on, because the Dolphins, I believe, have 13 touchdowns of their tight ends this year, and a lot of it's come from Tua. You know, he had 2 touchdowns to Gesicki in this game. Was it 2? Yeah, it was 2. Durham Smythe's been getting touchdowns. Adam Shaheen's getting touchdowns. So if Gesicki's forced to miss time, Shaheen or Durham Smythe could be like a decent value play in DFS. I don't know, DFS. I don't know if you're gonna have the guts to start them in your playoff matchups and season long, but they're getting a lot of end zone targets, and especially if Devontae Parker's out, like, who are they gonna throw to in the end zone? Like, they don't have the personnel to throw to. You know, they're missing Preston Williams. They're potentially without Devontae Parker, who left with a leg injury around halftime. Jakeem Grant also left in this game. So, I mean, Lynn Bowden pretty much played the slot receiver in this game, had 82 yards on 7 catches. He was targeted 9 times. Matt Collins had 5 catches on 9 targets. I think they both need to be worth a look in deeper leagues off waivers, because there's a good chance that at least 2 of these Dolphins pass catchers are out next week. So that's definitely something we need to keep an eye on. Lynn Bowden, obviously, drafted as a running back by the Vegas Raiders, rather, traded to Miami, and he's been playing receiver for them, but like didn't have a huge role with everybody healthy. But all of a sudden, you know, Preston Williams has been out, Devontae Parker gets hurt, Gesicki's out, Jakeem Grant's out. He's probably going to be an every down player, close to it, for as long as these guys are out. I mean, he was 77% slot, nearly 78% slot rate. 7 of his targets came from the slot. He had 6 catches for 71 yards. So you like to see that for Lynn Bowden Jr., who also averaged over 2 yards per route run from the slot, which was really impressive. So definitely somebody to keep an eye on. With Myles Gaskin out with COVID, DeAndre Washington got the start, had 13 carries for 35 yards, added 2 catches. So you'll take the 15 touches. The efficiency in the production wasn't there, but if Gaskin and Savon Ahmed aren't back next week, DeAndre Washington is probably a decent flex play in this offense, especially because they just need guys to catch the ball too. Patrick Mahomes with a good, bad fantasy game. He threw for 393 yards, averaged nearly 12 yards per attempt, but he had 3 picks. One was a deflection. The other two were just kind of bad plays, especially the one that he targeted Clyde Edwards-Helaire on. But he still had 2 touchdowns and almost 400 yards. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, though, he only had 32 yards on 16 carries, but the 6 targets were encouraging. He caught 5 of them for 60 yards, and he had 21 touches, his most touches in a game in like 6 weeks. So that was definitely encouraging for Clyde. He still has like no touchdown potential in this offense because they're throwing the ball so much. But, probably like a mid-range, low-end RB2. It's good to see him, you know, get the 21 touches where Le'Veon Bell only touched the ball 4 times. And the snaps were in favor of Clyde, 46-11. So that's really encouraging to see. Travis Kelce just continues to have an incredible season. 8 catches, 136 yards and a touchdown. He needs like 130 yards over the last couple weeks to break the single season yardage record by a tight end. So he's absurd. Just stupid, stupidly good at football is Travis Kelce. You know who else is good at football? Derrick Henry. Titans 31, Jacksonville 10. Derrick Henry, if you're facing him in the playoffs, you probably close your computer around 2 o'clock, 2:30 on Sunday afternoon. Henry goes for 215 yards and 2 touchdowns on 26 carries. Something about him in week 14, man, where he just pops off. It's obviously a really good matchup. Henry was great. The matchups get better down the stretch. He's got Tennessee and then he's got Detroit rather than Green Bay to end the season. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that at all. So if you have Derrick Henry, there's a good chance that you win your fantasy championship. A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, I was really high on. Davis with a dud, but A.J. Brown just did whatever he wanted to in this game. 7 catches for 112 yards and a score on 9 targets. Scored a miraculous one-handed catch on a flea flicker. He left this game for a couple plays. It looked like he aggravated the ankle injury, which was really concerning. Got back up, slowly walked to the sideline, and then came back in a couple plays later. So really happy to see that. I mean, Corey Davis was underwhelming, but other than that, like, it's pretty straightforward with this team. You know, they did what they were supposed to do against a bad Jacksonville team. Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown are really good at football. For Jacksonville, I mean, this is DJ Chark's season, man. 9 targets, only caught 2 of them. Like, so many times does he have separation or a chance to make a play on the ball in one-on-one coverage, and the ball is just not thrown in a catchable situation for him. It's really frustrating. Keelan Cole had 12 targets to lead the team. Laviska Shenault had 11. Mike Glennon got benched in the second half for this game. Gardner Minshew came in. That could be good for James Robinson, who had another touchdown called back by a holding penalty. Actually, this was a legal formation or something. It was the penalty was on Chark. He like wasn't set or something, and Robinson broke like a 20-yard touchdown run, ends up getting called back. But he still averaged 5.5 yards per carry, had 16 touches in the game they were, you know, never in. And yeah, Minshew's been targeting his running backs a lot since last year. Robinson had 4 targets in this game. I think he'd get up to upwards of 6 if Minshew's back under center. Tough matchup to close the season out for Jacksonville. I think they have Baltimore and then Chicago, but you're not benching James Robinson. You're probably not playing anybody else on Jacksonville, though. I just can't with DJ Chark anymore. It's not even on him. He had separation in the corner of the end zone, and Minshew threw it like 10 yards out of bounds. And I'm like, it's been the case all year. So it's been a frustrating season for DJ Chark, and you can see it. He's visibly frustrated every time, and I don't blame him. He just give him a chance to make a play. Super, super tilting to watch. Arizona 26, the Giants 7. Giants come back down to earth a bit here. Daniel Jones started in this game with the hamstring injury. He was clearly limited, though. Didn't rush for any yardage in this game. Took a lot of sacks. He took 6 sacks, lost 52 yards in those sacks. There were plays where he could have ran with the ball and got positive yardage, but he was timid, he was tentative, and it showed. And I believe that hamstring was the reason why. Wayne Gallman, I mean, 12 for 57, had a touchdown stolen by Deion Lewis. They had a long pass to Golden Tate for 40 yards. He got tackled at the 1 yard line, and then the Giants just went hurry up and gave it to Deion Lewis. So could have been a much better day for Wayne Gallman, but still, considering the game script, you still like the usage. You're getting 16, 17 touches a game from Wayne Gallman each week. And the passing game was bad in this game. I mean, they were terrible. Daniel Jones, 127 yards. It was bad. It's tough to trust. These Giants pass catchers, they just don't have a ceiling. You know, it's hard to bench Evan Engram given the state of the tight end position. And Sterling Shepard's target floor is pretty safe, but there's just really no ceiling with these pass catchers. Kyler Murray might be healthy again. That's encouraging. He had 15 rushing attempts in his previous 3 games prior to this game. He ran the ball 13 times in this game for 47 yards. The touchdowns still haven't been there for Kyler, though. I think he had one called back. He did throw one to Dan Arnold, who is quietly coming along here with touchdowns in back-to-back games. His passing offense still is not, like, really sharp right now at all. Hopkins had 136 yards on 11 targets. Caught 9 of them. Kenyon Drake didn't run extremely well, but the volume is great for Kenyon Drake all of a sudden. 23 carries, 80 yards, and a touchdown. Continues to get a ton of carries inside the 5-yard line. Remember, entering this game, the last 3 weeks, he had 10 carries from inside the 5-yard line, the most in the NFL during that span. He went back down to one target with Kyler healthy. So the correlation is clearly there. When Kyler was limited and not running and hurt, Drake was getting 3, 4, 5 targets. First game with Kyler looking healthier and running, he's back down to one target. So if Kyler's healthy, Drake's ceiling in terms of catching the ball is down. And we'll also see if Kyler starts to run for touchdowns again as well. But yeah, they're clearly still perfectly content with giving Drake the inside the five touches. So that could help make up for some of the passing game work that he might not get going forward. But other than that, like, Kyler's been pretty bad for fantasy as of late. Their red zone offense is really bad, which is odd, considering they have DeAndre Hopkins and they have such a difficult player to stop in Kyler Murray in terms of just being able to run the football. But their red zone offense has been pretty bad lately, so we'll see if that can kind of get better going forward. They have the Eagles next week, so they've been allowing a lot of rushing yards to quarterbacks, so maybe Kyler finally has one of those ceiling games again. Other than that, though, not much. A lot of these games were blowouts, and this is another one. I mean, Chicago 36, Houston 7. Mitchell Trubisky, we've seen him in the past take advantage of good matchups, and that's what he did here. 267 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 to Allen Robinson, 1 to Jimmy Graham, 1 to Darnell Mooney. Robinson was a beast in this game. Caught 9 of 13 targets for 123 yards and a touchdown. The Texans' secondary is bad with Bradley Roby, and the last couple weeks without him, they've been even worse. Cole Kmet, 7 targets in back-to-back games, is running more routes than Jimmy Graham over the last four weeks. Of course, Jimmy Graham scores a touchdown, but Cole Kmet has been the tight end one in this team. He should have had a touchdown this game, too. They were inside the 5-yard line, and they went play action, I believe. Kmet was wide open on the release. Would have been like a walk-in touchdown, but J.J. Watt pressured Trubisky and forced the bad throw. So that would have been a great game for Cole Kmet. But he's an interesting kind of streaming tight end if you're really hurting at the position. He's just been more involved. And outside of Allen Robinson, we know they don't have a ton of options in their passing game. David Montgomery ripped off an 80-yard touchdown run in the first quarter. The Bears clearly were up in this entire game, and yet Montgomery had 11 carries. Really shocking to see. You'll take the game from him. I mean, he had 42 yards on 3 catches, plus the 113 rushing yards and a touchdown on 11 carries. But weird to see him only have 11 carries. But we know that it's been, we talked about a lot with Montgomery, that the schedule to end the season for him is fantastic. I mean, it's as good as it gets from the running back position, honestly. They have, next week, I believe they have, let's double check so I'm not incorrect. Yeah, I mean, look at this. They have Minnesota and Jacksonville to end the season. I mean, he's game script proof right now. It was annoying to see them give Cordell Patterson 6 carries, including a handful inside the 5. Montgomery could have easily had 2 touchdowns in this game, but he's been running better lately. I know the matchups have been great, but he's definitely been running better. Deshaun Watson, tougher game here, but again, another game with 38 rushing yards. He's been at 25 yards or more in like 8 straight games now, giving him a nice floor and ceiling combo. He had a tough situation here going into Chicago to take on a strong Bears defense without Brandon Cooks, already without Will Fuller, no Randall Cobb. And he struggled a bit. I mean, 219 yards and 1 score, but I mean, tough spot for him, honestly. Chad Hansen, 7 targets, led the team. He's running a ton of routes the last couple weeks. So he's definitely viable in deeper leagues. We'll see if Brandon Cooks is back, but even with Cooks back, I mean, Hansen was operating as the wide receiver 2, in this offense. Kiki Cutie scored this game, only had 3 targets, but he did score. Jordan Akins had 6 targets, should have scored, but the ball hit him right in the face as he lost it in the sun. And then David Johnson, I believe, was deemed a close contact for COVID, so he didn't play in this game. Duke Johnson played 30 snaps. Buddy Howell played 23, and CJ ProSize played 13. I wonder if it was just, I mean, Howell played pretty much all of the fourth quarter because the game was out of reach. And the Texans just got eliminated from the playoffs contention. So maybe they give, Buddy Howell or someone more of a look. But assuming he can, not test positive, David Johnson should be back. But I wonder if I don't think David Johnson's going to get like 18 to 20 touches at the end of the season. I think he's going to be more along the lines of like 14, 15 with the Texans eliminated from playoff contention. Let's keep going. Denver 32, Carolina 27. Drew Lock's game came out of nowhere. I had zero interest in Drew Lock this week. I don't think a lot of people did. And give him credit, he went off for 280 yards and four touchdowns. Two of them went to KJ Hamler, who broke off two, like 40-plus yard touchdowns. Little fluky. I would not pick up KJ Hamler. This is one of those games where it's like fantasy. You're not going to predict everything, and I don't think anybody saw this coming from Drew Lock. So, I think it's a blip on the radar. I wouldn't take too much into this, but Noah Fant left this game with an illness, which is weird. You usually see somebody like questionable heading into the game with an illness and then doesn't play, but he left with an illness. So, and with the times, obviously, you got to be extra cautious. So, but he didn't return. Nick Vanette was the top tight end on the team, scored a touchdown. Tim Patrick scored again. I mean, nobody's talking about Tim Patrick enough. The guy has been the wide receiver one on this team, despite how much we all love Jerry Jeudy. It's been Tim Patrick, who's clearly benefited from, Courtland Sutton being out for the year. He is a really viable red zone target. He has three touchdowns over the last two games. He's been good. He's been really good. A lot of the passes for him are short yardage. He's getting a lot of end zone looks. I think he's got to be looked at as a wide receiver three going forward. He's been really good. Melvin Gordon, 13 carries, 68 yards. Once again, ran better than Phillip Lindsay, who had 24 yards on 11 carries. We have to monitor Melvin Gordon, though. Because if you remember, Melvin Gordon had the DUI earlier in the season. I believe his court hearing is this week. Which, if he gets suspended, obviously, he wouldn't be able to play. So that would obviously make Phillip Lindsay a lot more intriguing. As it wouldn't be... It's been a 50-50 split every time these two have been on the field together. But we definitely need to keep an eye on this. There is a chance he gets suspended. I'm trying to find the exact. His court hearing is this week, I believe. So if he gets suspended, Phillip Lindsay becomes a mid-range RB2. They have Buffalo. This week, Buffalo's defense has been, and we'll talk about it, Buffalo's defense has been back to being that top 10 unit as of late. So it's not the matchup that it once was, but Lindsay's going to get 17 touches if Melvin Gordon's not there. So, again, that'll be something we have to monitor over the course of the week. Tampa Bay 26, Minnesota 14. Let's start with the Vikings here. Really down games from both Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson. Thielen has three catches for 39 yards on just four targets. Jefferson, four for 39 on eight targets. I watched a lot of this game as an Adam Thielen lover and stan and supporter. I watched a lot of this game, and Thielen and Jefferson did not have a lot of time to fully run their routes because Kirk Cousins was under duress for the majority of this game. And that's why you saw a lot of Irv Smith and a lot of Tyler Conklin, who combined for nine targets, nine catches, and over 100 yards and a touchdown. CJ Ham even had three targets in this game. It was more of the short passing offense. Cousins averaged 6.1 yards per attempt. He was under pressure a lot, and that really, really impacted Thielen and Jefferson's game. So for me, it definitely hurts if you lost a playoff matchup because they finally both had underwhelming games, but I'm not worried at all. I mean, Cousins was under duress on 47% of his dropbacks. He didn't have a chance. I mean, JPP, Shaq Barrett, you know, these guys were in his face all game long. So it was hard for Thielen and Jefferson to get the ball consistently. So I'm not worried at all about these guys. Irv Smith, though, we got to keep an eye on him because Rudolph didn't practice at all last week. And Irv Smith comes in, and he swerved. I mean, four for 63 and a touchdown. He's a good player. We love him. Dynasty-wise, like, Kyle Rudolph might not be back next year. So that's going to be really exciting if that's the case. Irv Smith, he actually got out-snapped by Tyler Conklin, though, 45-28. So that's a little annoying. But they also had him run block more, I believe. So, and the Vikings started this game off hot. They were running the ball right down Tampa Bay's throat. Dalvin Cook was just, you know, getting a ton of work early, and then they fell behind in the second half, and that's where that's when he started to see Irv Smith get going a bit. So it's kind of the case with the Vikings. When they're having any sort of success running the football, the pass catchers are going to suffer, but when they're forced to throw, they're all good enough, and this was an exception. Like I said, I think it had a lot to do, and mostly to do, with the pass rush from Tampa Bay. Speaking of Tampa Bay, weird game from Brady. 2 touchdowns, only 196 yards. He missed a lot of throws in this game. I mean, Chris Godwin was wide open in the middle of the field, would have like a 40-yard gain, but Brady missed him. Godwin, man, 2 for 25 yards. Evans, 3 for 56. AB, 5 for 49. The touchdowns go to Scotty Miller and Gronk. It's a weird game. I mean, Leonard Fournette was a healthy scratch in this game, which was good for Ronald Jones, who had 18 carries for 80 yards and a touchdown, caught one pass, but most importantly, played 34 of the 51 offensive snaps. The touchdown was lucky, I will say that. The Vikings got called for two bogus penalties to set the Buccaneers up at the one, and Ronald Jones ran it in, but nearly 20 touches a game could be on the horizon for Ronald Jones to end the season. So definitely encouraging. But yeah, like Chris Godwin, he's had the thumb injury, the concussion, and it's been weird how bad he's been. You know, a lot of us thought that Evans was going to be the guy to take a step back, and it hasn't. I mean, he hasn't been like otherworldly, but Godwin's just been really not reliable for fantasy. Yeah, Tampa Bay's weird. They're tough to gauge right now. They really are. All right, let's go to the 4 o'clock games. But before we do that, gotta remind everybody that this podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Manscaped. It's a holiday season. Holidays right around the corner. Christmas is days away. And yes, we got to talk about tree trimming, keeping your jingle bells nice and fresh for the holiday season. Support for Fade the Chalk is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. The Manscaped engineering team has perfected the greatest trimmer for your downstairs ever created, and they just released a new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take your time with sensitive areas, and the waterproof technology allows you to clean up even in the shower. Pretty cool. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code FTN at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code FTN. On to the 4 o'clock games. Colts 44, Vegas 27. This Raiders defense is bad. Philip Rivers, 2 touchdowns, 244 yards, both to T.Y. Hilton, who's back to being really good in fantasy. It's been great matchups for T.Y., but he's been targeted a ton over the last couple weeks. And guess what? He's got Houston again next week, who he just historically torches. So T.Y. Hilton, looking like a really strong high-end wide receiver 3, low-end wide receiver 2 to continue the fantasy postseason. But Jonathan Taylor's got to be the story here. He's coming along here. I mean, career high day for the rookie, 20 carries, 150 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And you could tell early it was going to be a nice day for him. He had like 65 total yards on the opening drive. Oddly enough, after dominating that drive. Naheem Hines played like all of the second drive, but Taylor still, you know, with a great game. 62-yard touchdown run was impressive. The hole was massive. I mean, he just walked right through it, but then he had the nice breakaway speed, which you like to see. And then he scored on a wildcat. Naheem Hines handed it off to him, and he scored. Taylor played around 60% of the snaps. Over the last 3 weeks, he's averaging 18.3 touches, over 100 rushing yards, and a touchdown per game. He's got Houston again next week. I mean, Taylor, it's been a roller coaster season, but it looks like if you're patient with him, it's going to pay off, because Jordan Wilkins is not even, you know, he's not a thing anymore. Was for a little bit, but played 6 snaps today. Hines played 22, and Taylor played 34. So massive, massive for Jonathan Taylor. The Raiders, Josh Jacobs, man, like, put on Instagram that he wasn't playing today and was messing with fantasy players. Like, it's not cool, man. He ended up playing, didn't do much, 13 carries for 49 yards, 3 catches for 25 yards. Tough matchup against the Colts, who are really one of the best run defenses in the NFL. Another really nice game for Derek Carr. 316 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, adds a rushing touchdown. Darren Waller, 7 for 75. Nelson Aguilar, 5 for 100 and a touchdown. Nelson Aguilar has been quietly really strong this year. Like we say all year and every week, he's been the number 2 pass catcher on this team behind Darren Waller. But he actually just really made some big plays down the sideline and down the field in this game. He's got the Chargers this next week, which is fine. But he's been, when they're going down the field, it's been Nelson Aguilar, not Henry Ruggs, not anybody else. 9 targets in this game, just 1 behind Darren Waller. That's 20 targets over the last 2 weeks for Nelson Aguilar. Do not overlook Nelson Aguilar. He's been scoring a lot of touchdowns, too. Seattle 40, Jets 3. I mean, Jets are bad. Just really bad. I'm not going to talk about anybody in the Jets. Russell Wilson, 4 touchdowns on 27 pass attempts. 1 to Metcalf. 1 to Freddie Swain. 1 to Will Disley. 1 to David Moore. None for Tyler Lockett, who has now been pretty underwhelming as of late. Like, that game against Arizona where he went for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns seems like it was forever ago. He has been under 70 receiving yards in 7 straight games. He has these stretches where he has more floor games and the big ceiling game isn't there, but he also hasn't had DK Metcalf like he's had this year, where Metcalf's clearly emerged as the guy. So Lockett, I think, is more of like a mid to low end wide receiver 2 right now, especially because Seattle's still not throwing the ball. They've gone to running the ball a little bit more. I know this game they're obviously up the whole time, but even before this game, they have Chris Carson back, who's running extremely well. He had 76 yards and a touchdown on 12 carries, and he added 3 catches for 22 yards. I think he left this game for a little bit, but then came back in, so that's why he saw Hyde get 15 carries, plus Hyde got a lot of the fourth quarter work. I mean, the starters got pulled at the end of the third quarter in this game. It was that bad. So the snaps are going to be a little bit misleading for these skill players for Seattle. But yeah, you know, they took care of business against a bad Jets team. Chargers 20, Falcons 17. Both these teams threw fourth quarter picks that looked to be backbreakers, as both these teams tend to do. But Matt Ryan threw the last pick, and that made the difference. Justin Herbert had a weird game here. He threw the ball 44 times, but he only averaged 5.5 yards per attempt. Scored twice, one touchdown going to Keenan Allen, who I think I saw has the most catches in a player's first 100 games in NFL history, which isn't too surprising. He's been great. Austin Eckler, another huge workload from him. He had 25 touches last week, and then, or 2 weeks ago, and then finished with 24 touches in this game, over 100 yards. He had 9 targets. He's just been awesome. And now he's got the Raiders next week, who are the worst against running backs. I know they fired their defensive coordinator. That's not gonna change much, in my opinion. So love to see this from Austin Eckler. The snaps for Eckler were, let me pull them up. What were the snaps for Austin Eckler? 44 snaps. Ballage played 23. Justin Jackson played 11. Mike Williams left this game with an injury. He played 2 snaps, had a back injury, didn't return. That's why he saw Tyron Johnson take over, played the 3rd most snaps on the team, just a couple behind Keenan Allen, and scored the touchdown, had 7 targets. maybe somebody to keep an eye on in deeper leagues if Mike Williams can't get back next week. For the Falcons, Matt Ryan was bad again without Julio. Not a surprise. He's averaging like 11 or 12 fantasy points per game without Julio this year. Calvin Ridley, 12 targets. He smashed every game without Julio. His touchdown was a 39-yarder. It was from Russell Gage, who threw an absolute dime. But he had 8 for 124 and the touchdown. He's awesome. You're starting him every week. That's probably it. You know, it's probably maybe Russell Gage in deeper leagues, who had the touchdown pass and 5 for 82 on 7 targets as a pass catcher. Gurley's droppable. They're not using him because there's no point. He's not 100%. The Falcons are out of playoff contention. There's no reason to play Gurley, and he had 6 carries in this game. You know, he's droppable, and if you're in the playoffs, you're not starting him unless you're... I'd rather start so many other players than him, so you don't even have to be desperate to start him. I just wouldn't do it. Eagles 24, Saints 21. Jalen Hurts provides the spark in his first career start in the NFL. And I thought he looked good. There wasn't a lot down the field, but that wasn't part of the offensive game plan here for the Eagles. It was a lot of RPOs. There was a lot of get the ball out of Hurts' hands quickly. A lot of screens to the receivers. Hurts, 167 yards and a touchdown through the air. 106 yards on the ground on 18 carries. And that's what's really important here for Jalen Hurts, because that's what's going to make him really, really exciting for fantasy. He became, the second player to rush for 100 yards in his first career start, behind Lamar Jackson. He looked good as a runner. He looked good as a passer. He was decisive with the ball. He didn't hold on to it too long. This is exciting. They ran a lot of RPOs, which helped Miles Sanders get a lot of running room. He broke an 82-yard touchdown, scored twice in this game, had 115 yards. The Saints had not allowed a 100-yard rusher in 56 consecutive games entering this one. Then they allowed two, one to Miles Sanders and one to Jalen Hurts. So that's encouraging for the Eagles' running game, that they could do that against this Saints' run defense. And I think it's a testament to what Jalen Hurts provides for them. I mean, we've seen in the past a lot of these running backs that are in these RPO systems and with these mobile quarterbacks, they get a lot of yards before contact. We saw it with the Ravens' running backs last year and this year, the Cardinals' running backs last year, and back like LeSean McCoy and the Bills running backs a couple years ago with Tyrod Taylor. So this is pretty exciting for Miles Sanders. He also played 81% of the snaps. Last week he played 56% of the snaps, which was a season low. You'd still like Miles Sanders to get closer to like 20 carries, but he also had 4 catches, so 18 touches. Jordan Howard was inactive in this game. Boston Scott had 4 touches, and Corey Clement didn't have a touch. So last week I was down on Miles Sanders, but that was before we knew the quarterback change was happening, for sure. And the fact that we saw the RPO and the read option so effective, really encouraging for Miles Sanders, who has the Cardinals next week, not an overly daunting matchup. Then he's got Dallas. So it's been a frustrating year for Sanders, but he could help down the stretch with these matchups and with this new offense for the Eagles. I thought Peterson's offensive play calling was much better. It couldn't have been much worse, but I thought it was obviously much, much better. Still don't understand why Travis Fulgham is playing 11 snaps. I know Alshon scored in this game, but like, why is he playing less than these guys? Like, Travis Fulgham has done nothing to show you that he's not capable of playing, but he plays fewer snaps than Greg Ward, Jalen Reagor, Alshon Jeffrey, and Quez Watkins. I don't know what the hell Travis Fulgham did, but he's droppable now, if he wasn't already. He's been great when he gets the playing time and the ball, but they decided that he isn't going to play anymore. I don't know. The Saints, their offense was really bad in the first half, got going in the second half, and Alvin Kamara, man, 11 carries, 50 yards, and a touchdown. 10 targets! 10 targets for Alvin Kamara with Taysom Hill. Caught 7 of them for 44 yards. This was the first game with Taysom Hill where the Saints fell behind and had to throw and couldn't be conservative. And it resulted in 10 targets for Kamara, which is massive. So that's obviously great to see. He played 45 of the 63 snaps on offense. Drew Brees could return in Week 15 against the Chiefs, though there was a report that the Saints aren't going to, you know, push him to play. That's another game they could be trailing, especially given how their offense looks. Like, if they're not going to be able to keep up with the Chiefs, then they'll be trailing in this game. But you're starting Kamara. Like, there's people saying, I'm going to bench Kamara, and, like, that's too cute, you know? he's still one of the best players in the NFL, is getting the goal line work again. Really, really encouraging from Alvin Kamara. 10 targets, you love to see that. Again, that's why I was still a little bit hesitant to say, oh, I'm freaking out about Kamara, because they hadn't been in a situation where they had to throw. It was two games where they were in control and Kamara was limited or didn't play in the fourth quarter. And then it was the second Falcons game where it was a little bit closer, but they were never behind. This game they were behind, and Kamara was great. Had, 18 touches and 10 targets. Michael Thomas continues to not score, but high floor each week. 8 catches, 84 yards on 8 targets. He's got to score eventually, right? And we'll see if Taysom Hill starting again, but 291 yards and 2 touchdowns as a passer. Had a pick and a fumble, but he ran for 33 yards. He's going to be, a low-end quarterback one until Drew Brees is back under center. Green Bay 31, Detroit 24. Devontae Adams is absurd. Just the best. There's nobody better than 17 right now. 7 catches, 115 yards and a touchdown. Nice game from MVS, 6 for 85 and a touchdown. Robert Tonyan scores another touchdown. Rodgers, he's the MVP. 290 yards and 3 scores. Adds a rushing touchdown. He's unstoppable. Aaron Jones, definitely a disappointment in this week. 15 carries for 69 yards. 2 catches for 6 yards in the passing game. Jamal Williams, 10 carries. And it's not like Jamal Williams got these carries late in the game where they were ahead. It was all game where he was getting work. Jones still played 47 snaps, but again, it's another situation where if he doesn't score, he's going to be really underwhelming in fantasy. And Jamal Williams is getting 8 to 10 touches or 8 to 10 carries at least each week. So this has put Jones where he was, pushing that top 5, right behind the guys like Dalvin Cook, Henry, Kamara, McCaffrey when he's healthy. He was pushing right behind those guys, but that's not the case anymore, or at least right now. For Detroit, Marvin Jones got robbed. He had one of the best catches of the year. Clearly had 2 feet in. They reviewed it. Still said it was incomplete. So that would have been, he finished the 4 for 48 on 8 targets. That would have been, 5 for 75 or something like that? 5 for 80? Which would have made his day a lot better. Just blasphemy. Blasphemy. I was on full tilt. It was an incredible catch by an incredible player. Clearly caught the ball. Come on. The hell we doing? TJ Hockenson scored again, 6 for 43 and a score. 11 targets. I think he has 50 yards or a touchdown in every game except for one. Just, he's been awesome this year. Not enough people are talking about it. DeAndre Swift returned from a 2-week absence in this game. Was definitely limited a bit, as expected, but he still played 36 snaps, led the team. Peterson played 16, Kerryon played 14, but he only had 7 carries in the game. Scored a short touchdown, caught 4 passes for 26 yards. He's probably a low-end 2 going into next week. Hopefully he's not as limited. They have Tennessee, which is a solid matchup for DeAndre Swift. Other than that, I think we're good. 2 games left. Washington 23, 49ers 15. The defense from Washington. Chase Young had a monster game. Fumble recovery for a touchdown, forced a fumble, had a sack, had a couple tackles. He was awesome. And the defense was the story here. They had 2 touchdowns in this game. Terry McLaurin, back-to-back rough games from him. 2 catches for 24 yards on 6 targets. Logan Thomas led the way with 7 targets. I'm not worried about Terry McLaurin, really, but I'm hoping that this... Washington's been playing... They haven't been chasing points because they've been playing so well. So if they start chasing points again, that'll help Terry McLaurin. But he also hasn't had great matchups. Pittsburgh last week, Richard Sherman this week, so hopefully things get better for Terry McLaurin. Antonio Gibson was out with the turf toe, so J.D. McKissic and Peyton Barber both split work in this game. It was McKissic who led the way with 41 snaps, Barber played 30. McKissic was more effective, 68 yards on 11 carries, 2 catches on 18 or for 18 yards. Alex Smith left this game with a minor injury. I think it was a calf injury, they called it, so Dwayne Haskins came in and wasn't great. Hopefully Smith's back. I think the offense will be just better with him, and it'll help J.D. McKissic get more targets if Gibson's not back next week. And turf toe's rough. He could miss a couple games. He's already missed one. I don't think he practiced at all last week, so understand that Antonio Gibson could easily be out again next week. for San Francisco, they continue to split work with Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson. Mostert's run well each of the last 3 weeks. He's just not getting that massive workload. So he's a flex at best right now. I don't get why they're giving Jeff Wilson, 12 touches a game. Mostert should be getting 18, 19. Debo Samuel left this game on the first play with a hamstring injury and didn't return. Brandon Ayuk had 16 targets, caught 10 of them for 119 yards. I think the 16 targets are the most by a player in a game this week. He has a 30% target share over the last five games. So he has Dallas next week. He's a must-start receiver. You have to start Brandon Ayuk. Have to start him, especially with George Kittle probably not going to be back either. Last game, Pittsburgh 16, Buffalo 26. Let's go. Bills can clutch a playoff spot with a Browns win on Monday Night Football. The story was the defense here. The Bills offense got going in the second half. Stephon Diggs got open at will. The Steelers had a lot of pressure on Josh Allen all the first half. And the second half, it was all adjustments by Buffalo. And that's why this team is so dangerous, because they're so well coached. They went max protect in the second half, and they trusted Stephon Diggs to win his one-on-one matchups, which he did over and over and over and over again. 10 catches, 130 yards, and a touchdown on 14 targets for Diggs, who becomes the first receiver in the NFL to catch 100 passes this year. He's been unbelievable. The trade worked out so well for Minnesota and Buffalo, but especially Buffalo. This is what they needed. They needed this wide receiver one to take pressure off Josh Allen and just change plays and change games for this team. That's what he changed the game for the Buffalo Bills. He really did. Josh Allen, it looked like it was going to be a bad game. He finishes with a solid fantasy performance against an elite defense, 2 touchdowns, 240 passing yards, 28 rushing yards. Gabriel Davis scores again, 8 targets for Gabe Davis, had a couple drops. John Brown's eligible to return next week, so we'll see if he's back. That would push the Bills to a lot more 4 wide sets, which is what they're more comfortable being in, and that's when their offense becomes really tough to stop. But it was the defense for Buffalo. This defense is not bad anymore. They are back to being a top 10 unit. They have Trey White, who's playing great. Teron Johnson had an incredible game. Levi Wallace played much better in this game. Matt Milano played like nearly 50% of the snaps. He wasn't as limited, which is huge because he's one of their best defensive players. Tremaine Edmonds is playing great. They're stuffing the run with Ed Oliver and Jerry Hughes and Butler. Like they're playing much better. They have the best safety duo in the NFL, in my opinion. Yes, I'm biased, but the way Poyer and Hyde are playing, they're playing as well as anybody. I'm not saying Buffalo's going to make a run, but they have every single piece you need to do it. They have the quarterback, they have the coaching, they have the special teams. Andre Roberts is a Pro Bowl returner. They have their pass catchers. They have the defense coming along at the right times, and they're getting healthier. So it's exciting around Buffalo. I'm not in Buffalo. I was born in upstate New York, but it's exciting as a Bills fan. For Pittsburgh, it was bad. Their offense needs help. They can't run the football, and that was again the case with James Conner, who had 18 yards on 10 carries. Their passing game has no downfield presence. I mean, none. Deontay Johnson had 2 more drops, was benched for the first half, only played 49% of the snaps. James Washington ended up playing more. They have nothing. I mean, they have no downfield passing game. It's really bad. Chase Claypool's snaps have been down lately. Ebron's dropping passes. Juju's been good, but like he's been the trustworthy guy, but he's not breaking huge plays. Like they have a lot of concerns on offense right now. They have the Bengals next week, so hopefully that solves itself for them. But they have to get this going because, as a Bills fan, I was really happy that they just benched Deontay Johnson. Like, yeah, he's dropping the ball, but he's the only guy that right now that can make plays down the field because he's being used on screens and stuff, but he's so good after the catch. And they need that because Chase Claypool is not getting 30, 40-yard completions. Juju's being used like a tight end. They need to get going. And if they can't run the football, this is why I was worried about this game, because if they had success running the football, I thought the Steelers would win. But if they can't run the football, they're one-dimensional on offense. That just becomes so much easier to defend. So they got to get it going because it's hurting the upside of this offense for sure. But that will do it for me for this Week 14 slate. Excited to watch the Cleveland and Baltimore game on Monday Night Football. Again, Browns win, and the Browns win, and Buffalo clinches a playoff berth. So happy to see that happen tonight. D-Burn and I will be back Monday afternoon for the Waiver Wire podcast, getting you ready for the semifinals for the fantasy playoffs, which is just crazy to hear and crazy to say. Appreciate all the support on the podcast. We'll have the DFS podcast, of course, on Friday with another guest from the FTN family. Hopefully week 14 was great for you guys. Enjoy the rest of week 14. Have a great start to your week. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.